Good evening. Good to see all of you. Let's open our Bibles tonight to the book of Luke, if you would. Luke chapter number 5, and we're on the fourth of the miracles of Jesus now. Luke chapter number 5 and verse number 1. The Bible says, "And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he," this is Jesus, "stood by the lake of Gennesaret, and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, Launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him." It's a great story, isn't it? It's one of the fish stories of the Bible. In the reading material this week, Pastor says this is one of his favorite of all the Bible stories. And I feel the same way about it. It's just an exciting story to study and to talk about. I'd like for you to take your pen and mark one phrase, if you would, beginning in verse number 4, where Jesus says, the first words he says to Simon, this phrase, "Launch out into the deep." And that is the title for this week's lesson, Studying the Miracles of Jesus, Launch Out into the Deep. In other words, Jesus was saying to Simon Peter, I've got more in store for you. Deeper things, greater things, more than you ever imagined. The Bible says exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or even think according to his power that worketh in us. God has great things in store for us, but they can only be claimed by faith. I'd like for you to circle two words, if you would, please, in verse number 10. They're the words, "from henceforth." At the end of the story, Jesus says, "Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men." From henceforth. In other words, this is a turning point in the life of Simon Peter, as well as James and John. All of us need a turning point. All of us need a "from henceforth." I think it is important for us to take note that these men were already believers. If you remember in John chapter number 1, Andrew had already brought Simon Peter to Christ. Remember the story? So he'd already put his faith in the Lord. He was already a believer. But now the Lord Jesus is working in his life to get him to the place where he's not just a believer, but he is a real follower. That's what a disciple is, a learner, a follower of Jesus Christ. In other words, he is leading Peter along to the next level. I think it's very interesting that the Lord Jesus came to them exactly where they were, which is exactly what Christ does with us. In other words, he finds us where we are, and he's always working to bring us to the next step in our following of Christ, in our discipleship. And by the way, discipleship is not some six-week course or not some series of lessons. Discipleship is simply following Jesus. We'll talk more about that in just a moment. I think you may want to make note by way of introduction that Christ is dealing with men who catch fish for a living. That's what they do for their livelihood. They catch fish. But on this day, it was not Peter that was the fisherman, it was the Lord Jesus. And Jesus used the fish to catch the men. In other words, Jesus used this miracle and used this draught of fishes to bring Simon Peter, as well as the others, closer to himself. And then he turns around and uses the men to catch other men. And he says, from henceforth, you'll no longer fish for fish, you're going to catch men for a living. It changed their lives, which is what all of us need. And every believer needs to know, not only was there a time in their life they put their faith in Christ as their personal Savior, but they've had a from henceforth experience. In other words, some moment in time in their life when they really began to follow Jesus Christ. It's intriguing that this was the greatest day of fishing they'd ever had. Can you imagine? The most fish they'd ever caught, the best day of business they'd ever enjoyed, and when it was done, they walked away from it all. What would compel a man to do that? Only the Lord Jesus Christ. There's so many good things in this story, but let's look at the most simple things. The Lord Jesus chooses to use simple things to speak to all of us. The first thing we'd like to notice, please, out of Luke chapter number 5, is simply the fish. Notice, please, verse number 5 of Luke chapter 5. The Bible says, "And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing." Would you mark that phrase, please? That is the most apt description of where most believers live. Laboring, toiling, working, struggling, trying all the time, and yet so little fruit, so little joy, so little fullness. And that's exactly where Simon Peter was. A pastor tells a story in the reading material for this lesson of the famous atheist lawyer, Clarence Darrow, who said that one night he was sitting in his study working, and a man came into his office and asked him, "Mr. Darrow, how would you describe your life?" The famous atheist turned around and took a book off the shelf. The man supposed it was just any book, but it wasn't. It was a Bible. Clarence Darrow opened his Bible to Luke chapter number 5 and verse number 5, put his finger on the verse, turned the Bible around, and said, "This is me. We've toiled all the night and have taken nothing." And he said, "That's my life." And the truth of the matter is, whether a man is a lost man or is a believer who's never learned to really follow Jesus Christ, all the struggles and all the working and all the laboring and all the toiling apart from a following of Christ on a daily basis, a real walk with Christ, is nothing but emptiness. In the words of another series of lessons that we've been through, all is vanity and vexation of spirit apart from the Lord Jesus. And so what does Christ do? Christ uses the fish to teach Peter a lesson. It's interesting, he does this on more than one occasion. Do you remember when they got the tax money out of the mouth of a fish? He's using the most simple, basic things to say something to Simon Peter. What's he trying to say? He's trying to get to the place where he can say to him, "You follow me." In other words, the Lord Jesus had control over everything in the story, even the fish. Hold your place here and turn back to the Psalms for just a moment, to Psalm 8. This is a beautiful psalm, and one you need to point out to your class on the Lord's Day. Psalm 8, beginning in verse number 5. "For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels," speaking of the Messiah, "and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet." Now watch the list. "All sheep and oxen, yea, and the beast of the field, the fowl of the air, and mark it, please, and the fish of the sea. And whatsoever passeth through the paths of the seas, O Lord our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth." In other words, the Lord Jesus had perfect control even over the fish. Do you remember in the Garden of Eden that God gave the first Adam dominion over everything? "You're in charge, Adam. You take care of these things." But when Adam fell and sinned against the Lord, he lost that dominion. And so now the second Adam steps onto the stage of history. The second Adam is the Lord Jesus Christ, but he has perfect dominion over everything. Think about it for a moment. If our God has control over invisible things, and he does. Remember Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 3, the Bible says that the worlds were framed by the word of God, and they were made of things that don't even appear. Genesis chapter 1, verse number 1, "In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth," created, ex nihilo, out of nothing. In other words, out of invisible things, God made everything that you see. If God controls invisible things, surely God can control visible things like these fish. And that's exactly what he did. And the Lord Jesus uses these fish to bring Simon Peter to the end of himself. Notice, please, in verse number 6 of our text, Luke chapter number 5, "And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake." Now, this is interesting. Jesus did not say, "Cast a net out." He said, "Nets," plural. And what did Simon Peter say? Peter's tired. He says, "All right, we'll drop a net," singular. So he drops a net, and the net was so enclosed with fishes that he could not contain them. In fact, the boat starts to sink. It's almost comical. Look at verse 7. "And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both of the ships, so that they began to sink." Now both ships are sinking. In other words, Jesus is letting Peter know, "I'm in charge. I'm the master. I'm in control. And if all these other things obey me, then you ought to obey me too." That's where he's moving Simon Peter towards. And Peter gets there. Look, please, at verse number 8. "When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord." In other words, God got his attention. Don't get so involved looking at things, the details of life. Look past the fishes and see the Lord God, the God who has control over those details, speaking to you. And here's the question we must ask ourselves and we must ask our classes on Sunday. What is it God's using to speak to you? If God used something as simple as a fish to speak to Simon, God can use anything. What is it God's using to speak to you and bring you to himself? The second simple thing we see in this story is not only the fish, but we see the fear. Notice, please, his response, "Depart from me, I'm a sinful man, O Lord." It's reminiscent of Isaiah in the Old Testament when he says, "Woe is me, I'm undone, I'm a man of unclean lips." It reminds us of the Apostle John, when he was in the presence of God and he tried to play like he was dead. What's going on here? They're afraid. Notice, please, the first words that Jesus says in verse 10. The first two words, what are they, please? Fear not. In other words, Jesus knew what was in man. He saw fear in him. Where did that fear come from? Would you make special note of this? This fear was the fear of standing in God's presence. You know, when we see God for who he is, it changes the way we see ourselves. Instead of being full of ourselves, when we see who God is and who we are in light of who God is, it brings you to the end of yourself. This is the fear that is connected to faith. And no, God's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. But there is a holy fear, a good fear, a fear that brings us to the end of ourselves where we realize how weak we are and that if any good thing is going to happen in life, the Lord's going to have to do it. I'm imagining Simon Peter standing there looking at the creator of the universe, knowing the miracle that has taken place and thinking, I can never be what he wants me to be. And the Lord is trying to get him to the place where he recognizes that. The truth is, none of us can be. Somebody says, well, I just can't live the Christian life. Join the club. No one can apart from Christ. In other words, Christ lives in us. Christ is formed in us. And that fear brings us to the end of ourselves. The third thing we see in this miracle this week is not only the fish and the fear, but we also see the forsaking. Notice, please, verse 11. The end of the story, when they had brought their ships to land, notice what did they do? They forsook, what's the next word? All. Everything. Now, you have to remember, this is their business. They've invested their whole life in this. Imagine the money they had tied up in those boats. Imagine their nets. They were just mending them a moment ago, concerned about them a moment ago, and now they walk away from all of that. You know why? Because they found something, they found someone more important. And the application of this particular point is not that we're called always to leave every material thing we have, but we are called to be willing every day to say, God, I lay it all down, whatever you want to do with it, it's yours, it's not mine. I am yours, I'm not my own. And we yield our lives to Christ. And then there's a fourth thing, and we must hurriedly get here, because these two things are always connected. The Bible says they forsook all and did what? They followed him. We do not forsake just to forsake, we forsake to follow. They learned the secret of following Jesus Christ. Launch out into the deep. The deep is very simple. The deep is following Christ. Launching out of the deep is not some complicated, complex thing. It is simply following the Lord Jesus every day we live. That's it. Now think about who these men are. Notice the list. Peter, Simon Peter, James, and John. You couldn't find three more dedicated disciples. You couldn't find three disciples that were going to be any more greatly used of God. I mean, this is the inner circle. They're with him on the Mount of Transfiguration. They see him in his glory. They're with him in the Garden of Gethsemane. I mean, they're there. These are the great leaders of the early New Testament church in the book of Acts. But before any of that could happen, they had to learn the simple lesson of following Jesus Christ. Think about the impact of their lives, the books of the Bible that God would use them to write, the souls they would win, their influence in our life. Where did it all start? It all started with following the Lord Jesus. And that is the great point, one great truth in this lesson, is that God uses things and circumstances in our life to teach us to follow him. Most of us will not be called to follow him to a deep, dark corner somewhere of a continent as a missionary. But all of God's children, every teenager, every single adult, every married couple, every senior saint, every one of God's children will be called on this Sunday, a new, fresh call put out to follow Christ every day. You think about the miracle of these fish, but then think about something else. The greatest miracle of all was not what God did with the fish. That was small. The great miracle is what he did with their lives. And the greatest miracle of all is what he does with our lives when we follow him, when we yield ourselves to him. What he does, the miracle of a changed life. Launch out into the deep. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for this beautiful story. Thank you for the way you've used it in my own heart just to remind me of the simplicity that is in Christ, what it means just to follow Jesus. Lord, help me be a good follower. And as we teach this lesson on the Lord's Day, may you raise up a mighty army of people who will be willing to obey, willing to follow you day by day. Teach us what this means. And we'll praise you and thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.